Hey everyone, welcome back to The Deep Dive.
Glad to be here.
Today we are diving deep into two crucial books of the New Testament.
We are.
The Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts.
Right.
Now we know you, our listeners, love to understand things deeply.
Yeah.
And we're going to take you there today.
We are.
We're going to break down these texts in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
And gives you all the info you need.
Absolutely.
To really get them.
That's right.
So our mission today,
okay,
straight up, is to find out who wrote these books?
Okay.
When they wrote of them.
Right.
And why their combined message is so important.
Yeah.
And to do this, we've got a whole range of expert opinions.
We do.
We're going to bring you the best insights.
The best.
We are focusing on the work of Dr. Robert A. Peterson.
That's right.
Really tapping into his lectures on the theology of Luke Acts.
Absolutely.
And he draws from big names like Daryl Bach, Joel Green.
Yes.
And I, Howard Marshall.
Right.
We're going to unpack all of this.
We are.
To reveal the special things about Luke Acts.
Yeah.
And to figure out who wrote them.
Exactly.
So Luke Acts,
yeah,
it's kind of a big deal in the NT.
It is.
What sets these two books apart from the get-go?
Well, there are a few things that really stand out.
Okay.
First, the length of Luke's writing is significant.
Yeah.
His gospel is the longest of the four.
Really?
To give you an idea,
yeah,
in the Nestle-Aland Greek New Testament,
mm-hmm,
Matthew spans 87 pages with 10,071 verses.
Okay.
Mark is a bit shorter at 60 pages and 678 verses.
Yeah.
And John covers 73 pages with 869 verses.
Okay.
Luke comes in at a whopping 96 pages with 1,151 verses.
Wow, that's a lot more.
It is a lot more.
That extra length really shows us.
Yeah.
That Luke wants to give us a full and detailed account.
Right.
That's a lot to cover.
It is.
And it's not just about the length, is it?
No, it's not.
There's something else really unique here.
That's right.
What's so fascinating is that Luke is the only gospel writer who also gives us a sequel.
That's
the Book of Acts.
Exactly.
This allows him to create a connected story showing how Jesus' earthly ministry leads directly into the start and growth of the early church.
That's right.
They aren't just two separate books.
They're not.
They are connected, showing God's plan of salvation.
Right.
That reaches both Jewish and Gentile communities.
Absolutely.
This was a radical idea at the time.
It was.
And Luke carefully lays it all out for us.
He does.
It's like one big story in two parts.
Yeah.
Dr. Peterson even talks about how the placement of these two books in the NT could be viewed differently because of this connection.
Exactly.
They were a unified work.
Right.
You could argue for a different order.
Okay.
Matthew, Mark, then Luke, Acts together, and then John.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It makes us think about the theological unity that Luke intended. Mm-hmm. By seeing them as one,
yes,
we get a clearer understanding of how Luke tackles these really important and potentially divisive issues,
yes,
that popped up in the early church.
That's right.
So what were the big pressing questions,
yeah,
that Luke Acts was trying to answer?
Well, one major question was the inclusion of Gentiles.
Okay.
The early Jesus movement started within Judaism.
It did.
So the question of how non-Jews fit into God's covenant community was huge.
That makes sense.
Did they need to follow all the Jewish laws?
Mm-hmm.
Like circumcision?
Right.
Which was a fundamental sign of the covenant.
Yeah.
Going back to Genesis 17, Luke, particularly in the Book of Acts, carefully tells the story of how God himself guided the inclusion of people from all backgrounds, emphasizing faith in Jesus, rather than strictly adhering to every aspect of the Jewish legal tradition.
I see.
This wasn't just a small adjustment.
No.
It completely redefined the people of God.
That must have been a huge shift in perspective for those early Jewish believers. So what other big challenges was the early church facing that Luke addresses?
Another really tough issue was the largely negative response from the Jewish nation. Okay.
To Jesus and the early Christians.
Yeah.
It seems like a paradox.
How so?
The very people God had first made his promises to
were,
for the most part, rejecting Jesus.
Mm.
And even persecuting his followers.
Wow.
Luke addresses this by showing that the early church didn't just give up on its mission to the Jewish people.
Okay.
He shows how their continuous outreach was met with increasing resistance.
Mm-hmm.
It mirrored the negative reactions Jesus himself experienced during his ministry, which he details in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
This paved the way for the gospel message to spread more widely among the Gentiles.
So it wasn't that the early Christians wanted to separate themselves.
No.
It was more a result of how they were received.
Exactly.
Luke emphasizes those ongoing efforts to connect with their Jewish brethren.
Yes, he does.
Then there's this fundamental stumbling block.
Yeah.
A crucified Messiah.
Right.
How could a Jesus who was executed be the promised deliverer?
Right.
How could his followers believe in someone
who was no longer physically present?
That's the question.
Luke Acts tackles this head on.
It does.
By emphasizing Jesus's exaltation, his resurrection and ascension.
Yes.
What's interesting is, well, other NT writers mention the resurrection and allude to Jesus's ascended state. The only full accounts of the ascension event are found in Luke 24 and the beginning of Acts.
That's right.
Literally linking those two volumes together.
Exactly.
At this crucial point. That ascension detail really highlights that intentional connection between the gospel and Acts.
It does.
So what other core questions does Luke address?
Luke also stresses what it truly means to follow Jesus.
Okay.
What level of commitment is required?
Yeah.
How should believers live their lives while waiting for his return? The Gospel of Luke, especially chapters 9 to 19, often called the travel narrative or Jerusalem journey, is so important here.
All right.
It carefully details Jesus's mission and shows us a model for the mission of his disciples.
I see.
The Sermon on the Plain in Luke's gospel is also crucial for understanding the ethical framework for Jesus's followers.
It sounds like Luke was really trying to give his readers a sense of clarity.
He was.
And reassurance.
Yeah.
Addressing these urgent theological and practical questions of the early church.
That's right.
And that leads us to Theophilus.
Right.
The person Luke dedicates both books to.
Exactly.
Those opening verses of Luke's gospel, Luke 1.1 to 4, are essential for understanding his purpose.
Oh, okay.
He clearly states that he's writing to give Theophilus certainty about what he had been taught, given the themes we've discussed, particularly the inclusion of Gentiles. This dedication likely points to Theophilus being someone interested in or already involved in the early Christian movement, maybe looking for a more organized and trustworthy account of these events. So scholars debate whether Theophilus was a potential convert or an existing believer looking for deeper assurance.
Yeah, but Luke's goal is clear.
Okay.
He wants to provide a solid foundation for understanding God's plan through Jesus.
We have a good grasp of why Luke Acts was written.
We do.
And the main issues it tackles.
Right.
Now let's get into this fascinating question.
Okay.
Of who actually wrote these influential books.
Right.
This is where we look at the evidence.
Okay.
What we can find in the texts themselves and what early historical sources tell us.
Right.
It's important to say up front that neither the Gospel of Luke nor the Book of Acts actually name their author.
So we're playing detective here.
We are.
We're piecing together clues from the texts and from early church leaders.
Exactly.
Let's start with the internal clues.
Okay.
Within Luke and Acts.
Good place to start.
The internal evidence points to a couple of big things. First, in his gospel's intro, Luke 1.1 to 2.
Luke says he wasn't there for the main events of Jesus's ministry. He says he relied on the accounts passed down by eyewitnesses and servants of the word.
That's right.
This tells us he was working with existing sources and oral traditions.
Compiling and organizing them into a coherent narrative.
He's a researcher and storyteller.
He is.
Drawing on the testimony of others.
Right.
What's the second big clue?
The second major clue is in the Book of Acts.
Okay.
With those we sections.
Oh, we sections.
Yeah, these are parts where the author suddenly switches from using third-person pronouns, like they did this, or Paul said that. Okay, first-person plural.
Totally.
We set sail. We stayed there.
I see.
These we sections show up in specific parts of Acts.
Like where?
Starting in Acts 16.
Okay.
During Paul's travels in Macedonia.
Right.
Then again in chapter 20, when Paul returns to that region. Continuing through his trip to Jerusalem in chapter 21.
Yeah.
And then they're all over the narrative of his voyage to Rome in chapters 27 and 28.
Wow.
Yeah.
These we sections really suggest.
They do.
That the author was a travel buddy. Of someone important in the early church.
Right.
Given what's happening in Acts.
Yeah.
The obvious guess would be the Apostle Paul, right?
That is the traditional interpretation.
Okay.
And the most common one. But scholars have debated whether these sections are literal accounts from someone who was actually there.
Okay.
Or maybe a literary technique used for other reasons.
Interesting.
Some scholars like E. Earl Ellis and Colin Hymer have argued against taking them literally in certain cases.
I see.
Critics like A.J. Hansen have also questioned whether the author really knew Paul's theology and practices.
Oh, what are they saying?
They point out some differences between how Luke portrays Paul in Acts and how Paul presents himself in his letters. They also point out that Luke never quotes directly from Paul's letters.
But there's a strong counterargument.
There is.
For taking these we sections at face value.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Joseph Fitzmyer, a well-respected New Testament scholar, argues that it's hard to explain those random we passages if they were just made up.
That makes sense.
He also points out that in places where you'd expect a we, if it was a literary device, like in those detailed sailing descriptions, it's not there.
Interesting.
This suggests that the we really means the author was with Paul.
Okay.
At certain times.
Irenaeus, an early church father.
Right.
Famously said Luke was an inseparable companion of Paul.
Yeah.
But Fitzmyer thinks he might have been a bit less central.
Could be.
What's interesting is even some scholars who are more critical of the historical reliability of Acts, like Robert Golder, have pointed out possible allusions within Luke Acts. Okay.
To Paul's letters, such as 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians. Mm-hmm. This suggests some familiarity.
So overall, the internal evidence hints
it does
that the author was a companion of Paul on some of his journeys.
Right.
And was likely a second generation Christian.
Right.
Meaning he came to faith through the apostles or those close to them.
Mm-hmm.
That gives us a picture from the texts.
It does.
What does the external evidence tell us?
Whoa.
The writings of early church leaders and other sources.
The external evidence is super consistent.
Got it.
And points to Luke as the author from very early on.
Wow.
We see hints of the Gospel of Luke in some of the earliest Christian writings.
Like where?
For example, 1 Clement, written around 95-96 AD, and 2 Clement around 100 AD.
Okay.
Both seem to use material that is unique to Luke's gospel.
I see.
Plus, the Apostle Paul himself in 1 Timothy 5.18 quotes Jesus saying, "The laborer deserves his wages," which is from Luke 10.7. And he presents it next to a passage from Deuteronomy as scripture.
Interesting.
This suggests that Luke's gospel was already highly respected and likely being shared around.
That's really early.
It is.
What about the church fathers who wrote later in the second century?
As we move into the mid to late second century, it becomes much clearer that Luke Acts is attributed to Luke.
Okay.
Justin Martyr, writing around 160 AD, directly refers to Luke as the author of a memoir of Jesus and says he was a follower or associate of Paul.
Interesting.
The Muratorian canon.
Yeah.
One of the earliest lists we have of accepted Christian books.
Okay.
Dating to around 170-180 AD.
Yeah.
Clearly names Luke as the author of the third gospel.
I see.
Calling him a physician and a companion of Paul.
It really seems like everyone agrees that Luke is the author.
Yeah, from very early on.
And it goes back to the very beginnings of the church.
It does.
Absolutely.
The Anti-Marcionite Prologue to Luke.
Okay.
Which is from around 175 AD. Gives us more details about Luke's background.
Okay, what does it say?
It says he was born in Antioch in Syria.
Interesting.
A city that appears a lot in the book of Acts.
It does.
It says he was a doctor.
Okay.
Unmarried. Lived to be 84.
Wow.
Wrote his gospel in Achaia.
Greece.
Okay. And died in Boeotia.
Also Greece.
Yeah.
While some of those details aren't directly from the NT, they add to the tradition of Luke being the author.
Okay. And provide extra biographical info that likely circulated in the early church.
Tertullian writing in the early third century refers to Luke's gospel as a digest of Paul's gospel.
Hmm. Highlighting how closely their theology aligns.
It's interesting.
A later version of that anti-Marcionite prologue gives Luke's age at death as 74.
Oh, so there are some differences.
Just minor variations in those later traditions.
Okay.
Even Eusebius, the early 4th century church historian, repeats that Luke was Paul's companion from Antioch.
And the author of both books. So even though there are some minor differences in the details, the main idea of Luke being the author is super consistent.
It is.
And goes way back.
It does.
Exactly.
As Joseph Fitzmyer sums it up.
Here.
The internal evidence in Luke Acts suggests an author who was a physician.
Okay.
Though that's debated based on the vocab alone.
Yeah.
Who was close to Paul, right?
Wasn't there to see Jesus' ministry firsthand.
Uh-huh.
And was concerned about the inclusion of Gentiles.
Right.
While traditions outside the NT add more details.
Yeah. Like his Syrian background, marital status, and age at death.
Uh-huh.
Which...
sometimes disagree.
Right. The basic agreement on Luke being the author from so early on is very convincing. That makes sense.
It does.
This leads us to other questions Dr. Peterson brings up.
Okay.
Was Luke a Gentile?
Right.
And was he really a doctor?
Yeah, good questions.
Most scholars think that Luke was a Gentile.
They do.
Meaning he wasn't Jewish by birth. This idea comes mainly from Paul's letter to the Colossians.
Uh-huh.
Colossians 4:0-11 and 14.
Okay.
Where Paul separates those of the circumcision Jewish believers.
Okay.
And then mentions Luke on his own as Luke the beloved physician.
Hmm.
This difference strongly suggests that Luke wasn't seen as part of that Jewish group.
Okay.
Also in Acts 1:19, there's a reference to a field called Akeldama. Which is Aramaic.
Right.
And the text says, so that field has been called in their language. Interesting.
Implying that Aramaic wasn't the author's native language.
Okay.
Plus, Luke focuses on Hellenistic locations, Greek-speaking places. And he's consistently focused on the Gentile mission throughout Luke Acts.
Right.
This all supports the idea that he was a Gentile himself.
But some people think differently.
They do.
They say Luke might have been a Jewish Christian with a Hellenistic background.
Right. Yes. A smaller group of scholars.
Okay.
Like Ellis and Salmon.
I have argued that Luke could have been a Hellenistic Jewish Christian.
So what's their reasoning?
They point to his deep knowledge.
Okay.
And skillful use of the OT.
Yeah.
They interpret that Colossians passage differently.
Okay.
They notice influences of Palestinian language in his Greek.
Uh-huh.
And they highlight his detailed discussions of Torah observance.
Hmm. In the narrative.
I see.
They say his interest in the Gentile mission comes from a Jewish theological understanding of its place in God's plan.
Okay.
They even say that Luke portrays early Christianity as a sect within Judaism.
Interesting.
But the majority view,
uh-huh.
based on that clear distinction in Colossians.
Okay.
And the language clue in Acts.
Right.
Right.
It remains the more accepted position.
Fitzmyer even brings up the possibility.
He does.
That Luke could have been a non-Jewish Semite.
Okay.
Given his likely Greek name, which is a shortened form of a Latin name, Lucanus, and that strong early tradition linking him to Antioch, a city with a big Semitic-speaking population. Daryl Bach offers a kind of middle ground.
He does.
He suggests that Luke might have been a God-fearer. What's a God-fearer?
A Gentile who was drawn to Jewish practices and beliefs, but hadn't fully converted.
Interesting.
Or maybe even a Jewish proselyte before becoming a follower of Jesus.
I see.
The idea of Luke being a God-fearer is compelling.
Yeah.
It explains why he was familiar with Jewish scripture and customs,
mm-hmm.
while still being seen as separate from those of the circumcision.
That adds some interesting possibilities to his background.
It does.
What about the evidence for Luke being a doctor?
As we mentioned, Colossians 4:14 clearly calls Luke the beloved physician in the late 19th century.
Okay.
W.K. Hobart tried to support this by pointing out lots of examples of what he thought was specific medical vocabulary used by Luke in his writing.
Okay.
But in the 1920s, H.J. Cadbury did a thorough counter-analysis. He showed that much of this so-called medical language was actually pretty common in everyday Greek writing from that time, including the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the OT, and other non-medical writers.
So while certain words don't prove Luke was a doctor, they don't disprove it either.
Exactly.
In the end, because of that clear statement in Colossians.
Right. Which is a very early and reliable source.
Uh-huh.
And because the early church consistently called him a physician, it's still very likely that Luke was a medical professional.
Okay.
And as we've discussed, this Luke Paul's companion, likely from Antioch,
Probably a Gentile.
Right.
Okay.
Though there's debate about a possible Semitic background or God-fearer status,
yeah.
seems to have lived a long and influential life.
So to sum everything up,
yes.
we looked at the internal evidence of Luke Acts
uh-huh.
and what early church leaders said,
right.
and with the help of Dr. Peterson and other experts.
Yeah. We have a pretty clear picture.
Okay.
Luke, most likely a Gentile physician and a close friend of the Apostle Paul,
uh-huh.
wrote the longest gospel.
Right.
And its crucial sequel. Okay.
The book of Acts.
These two books together give us a unique and complete look.
They do.
At Jesus's ministry,
uh-huh.
his death and resurrection,
right.
his ascension,
yeah.
and the early church's development.
They also address key questions
mm-hmm.
about God's plan of salvation for everyone,
mm-hmm.
the important role of Gentiles in this plan.
Yeah, and the deep meaning of the crucified and exalted Christ. And for you, our listener,
yeah.
understanding who likely wrote Luke Acts
uh-huh.
and the historical context
yeah.
gives you a richer, more nuanced, and more informed view
Absolutely.
Of these foundational texts in the NT.
This leads us to a final thought for you to consider.
Okay.
Think about how significant it is
hmm.
that someone who wasn't an eyewitness,
yeah.
very likely a Gentile,
hmm.
played such a crucial role.
Yeah. In yeah. shaping how we understand Jesus and the first days of the Christian movement.
It is pretty amazing.
It is.
How might this change how you read and understand Scripture today?
Good question.
What does it tell us about how God works in the world?
Yeah.
And the different voices he uses to communicate his message.
Right.
Across different times and cultures.
That's something to think about.
Really is.
It is.
We encourage you to read more of the scholars we've discussed.
Yes.
Bach, Green, and Marshall.
Uh-huh.
And to go back and look at the specific passages in Luke and Acts.
Absolutely.
We've explored in this deep dive.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been great being here.
We'll see you next time.
See you then.